Jamal Yogis is a man on a spiritual quest, stimulated in part by his surfing days in Hawaii. He relived his days as a teenage seeker and soul surfer in his first memoir, Saltwater Buddha. His search widens and takes him farther afield in his follow-up memoir, All Our Waves Are Water. He's in Hawaii on his book tour. Hi, Jamal. Thanks for coming with us.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Hawaii is a place where people actually understand what you mean with the term soul surfer, right?
I think so. I mean, it's a term that gets thrown around a lot. Yeah. As you know, what does it really mean? I think the reality is that most surfers are soul surfers. You know, a lot of times pro surfers get this bad rap as like they don't really like to surf; they're just after the money. They're full of it. Those guys like to surf as much as anybody does, and everybody gets a great feeling in the water. That's why they're doing it. Yeah. So, I mean, whether you're doing it for a living or because you just love to play around, I think the ocean feeds us. It makes us peaceful. It brings, even the neuroscience shows that just when you get in the water and float, you get out of sort of prefrontal cortex planning mode, and there's a more distributed set of points. I mean, this is assuming the ocean doesn't make you afraid, but if you're a person who likes the water, you instantly go into a more sort of hyper-present mode, and that's healing for us.
It demands, the ocean demands that you understand your presence in it as being in the presence of a power infinitely more powerful than yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons mystics and philosophers have drawn on the ocean for teachings. You know, in the Zen tradition, they compare the individual self to a wave on the ocean and the Buddha nature as the ocean itself. And Rumi, the great Sufi poet, says, you know, we're not a drop in the ocean, we're the entire ocean in a drop. And so there's all these great metaphors to draw on. But then also when you're actually in the ocean, it's so dynamic, you can't fall asleep. You know, I make a lot of connections between sitting meditation and surfing. And one of the things that I think, if you're a surfer and you meditate, you can benefit from your surfing experience, because when you're on your cushion, you can fall asleep, you can zone out. But when you're out there in the ocean, you can't. You need to stay alert. And so, again, there's a sort of hyper-presence that the sea invokes.
Did you become aware of that early in your life?
I always loved the ocean. My dad was a surfer. We lived in the Azores, Portugal, when I was about 3 to 6, and we were out there body surfing every day. And we just took it, you know, the beach was just a wonderful place to be. I think it wasn't probably until I had more frightening experiences when I was really learning to surf in Hawaii, you know, got my face grated on the reef when I was out on the Big Island, or I realized, wow, you know, you can't zone out for a minute here. And that's essential. You can bring that on to land, you know, that and the water makes you naturally more aware. I think it's one of the reasons it's so healing for autistic children and people with sensory integration. Having all that pressure of the water on all your nerves makes you less sort of in your head. A lot of times we're just telling infinite stories about things that might happen or things that happened in the past, and we're not really living now and aware of what's going on. We're sort of naturally like walking around with a cell phone, but the cell phone's in our head. And now we actually have the cell phone too. And so in the water, you can't bring your cell phone, which is great, but then you also can't be spinning out in infinite stories. And so, you know, I continue to learn that every day.
Spinning out, that's an interesting phrase, spinning out in infinite stories, because, you know, anyone who goes on a spiritual quest, tries to learn to meditate, finds that your head is full of noise, right? If I try to quiet my mind down, I just can't believe all the stuff that's flying around in there.
Yeah, it is amazing. I mean, it's one of the first things you learn when you sit and meditate. Everybody thinks they're a terrible meditator because they think they're supposed to have this instant experience of, oh, now I'm not thinking.
The void, yeah.
That's a myth. And
good.
The idea is really to take an observer's perspective of the mind, and that's one of the amazing things about the mind, is that the mind can distance itself from itself.
Yeah.
And so In meditation, you take the perspective of watching your thoughts much like you might watch waves on the ocean. So you don't identify with them so much, because so much of our suffering comes from identifying with those waves. We have a wave of jealousy or a wave of
attachment,
or fear. And that spins out more stories. We say, oh, I'm always jealous, or I'm, you know, my parents screwed me up, or, mm-hmm. you know, I'm, you know,
I can't control this or that craving.
Exactly. And so the storytelling and really the resistance to those waves is often creates more suffering than just the wave itself. And that's part of the theme of this book, All Our Waves Are Water, is to see that, well, are those big wave emotional waves of fear or jealousy or anger so bad in and of themselves if you don't attach a story to them? Or can you just let them pass by, much like a stormy day mm-hmm. at the ocean can be beautiful if you just kind of say, oh, well, it is. You know, that is a part of life.
Attach a story to them, as in dragging your own story into it?
Dragging your own story into it. And the key piece is attaching an identity story to it, because our minds are wild. This is the biology we're saddled with, where we have an unconscious and a conscious mind, and things are going at a rapid fire pace. And that isn't necessarily, there isn't a self in there that's navigating those. They're just, when you sit down in silence and you watch, there's old memories of TV shows and big emotions and planning, and those are happening nonstop, not by your own force of will. And so a lot of our emotions that we experience come from attaching an identity story to those. So if you sit for or spend some time in nature where you can quiet the mind and you're not having infinite inputs, mm-hmm. you can actually one, the waves start to find space, so you have a little bit more peace of mind. And two, you can start to see how these emotions and these emotional stories that we identify with aren't necessarily true. They're not facts. Mm-hmm. They are just sort of phenomena that the mind is churning out. And so as a meditator, you can kind of decide, I'm going to let this wave go because it's not useful to me, and B, it's not really true, mm-hmm. With a capital T. Or, hey, this is a great joyful wave. You know, I'm in love with my newborn child, and I'm going to ride it. And then you're kind of surfing that ride, and that's an enjoyable part of being a human. But when you start to meditate, you can start to choose. Do I want to ride this wave, or do I want to let it go?
It sounds like absent meditation, we just sort of attach ourselves to everything, every wave that comes flowing through.
We do. We're just heedless if we don't have at least some way of anchoring ourselves in the present and being able to take a perspective on our own minds. And a good portion of the world is walking around heedless like that and out of control of their own emotions. And, you know, so it's a key... it's a key thing to learn. I think kids should learn it from a young age.
Well, it's very easy to feel as if you are the captive of your mind rather than the captor, in a sense, yeah? That it's going to go, it's going to take you know not where, and you might not like it very much.
Well, you are, and most of what you're feeling is on top of that run by your unconscious, which is, you know, the lizard brain is churning out all these desires about survival and sex and anger, et cetera. And if you don't have just a little handle on that, that's going to run you rather than you being able to say, well, you know, actually, that's not going to help me if I go get angry at my 3-year-old or something. You know?
I think there are probably a lot of people who are hearing this and identifying with all or part of it. Thanks very much, Jamal.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Jamal Yogis is the author of All Our Waves Are Water, just released by HarperCollins. Be signing copies tomorrow at 2 p.m. in the Barnes & Noble store at Honolulu's Ala Moana Mall, on Sunday at 5 p.m. at Lumeria, Maui.